I don't know if you need to open to the text this evening. It's a very familiar one, and it's only one verse long. I do want to remind you that we are looking at the sixth commandment, which is, "You shall not murder." And this evening we want to see how we can combine that with 1 Corinthians 10:31, that says, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." May the Lord help us to see how the sixth commandment applies to the things that we eat and drink, as well as the things we do for work and recreation. Now, we've seen that in the sixth commandment, God tells us that we are to protect life, our lives and the lives of others as well, which means that we have the right to defend ourselves. We have the obligation to defend others if they should be in danger. The Lord tells us we should also fight against any emotions that we find within ourselves that would make us want to take away life, such as anger or hatred, bitterness or desire for revenge. And we are told that we are not also to have any of these emotions toward God. Even though we cannot injure God or hurt Him, we can still break this commandment by desiring His harm. We never, as Christians, have a reason to do that, of course, because whatever the Lord brings into our lives is always out of His love and goodness, and He works it together for good. Now, last week, we looked at some of the emotions that go on within us that can weaken our lives and even shorten our lives, such as worry or anxiety, which amounts to fear. Solomon reminded us in Proverbs 17:22, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." There are things that can affect us emotionally that can take away our life. And the Lord warns us here that we shouldn't let the worries and cares of life burden us down. Remember, the Lord says, "Do not be anxious for your life." Anxiety is fear. Not to be afraid that God won't take care of us, because God has said that He will take care of us. And God said that He will do this because He wants us to be concerned about things that are more important, the things that have to do with the kingdom of heaven, the things that have to do with His righteousness. God wants us to pursue the things that build up His kingdom. He wants us to pursue the things that build us up into the likeness of Christ. And as we do those things, God has said He'll take care of everything else so that we can focus on those things. We don't need to worry. Now, this evening, I want us to consider a few more things that, if not kept in balance, can become a violation of the sixth commandment. And again, this is important for a couple of reasons. One is that whatever God tells us to do is good, and it's good for us, and it will turn out for our blessing and our good in the end. And secondly, of course, if we love the Lord, we'll want to do those things that are honoring to Him. But our passage, especially in 1 Corinthians 10:31, reminds us that everything we do is important to God. There is nothing that is unimportant to Him. Paul reminds us, "Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." He says, whatever you do, that includes everything. Of course, it includes the more important things, such as how we live, where we would go to church, that's important. What we do for work, that's important. We'll see something about that this evening. Whom we will marry, how we raise our children. There's a lot of very important things. But there are also things that aren't quite as important. At least they don't seem as important. But yet the Lord says that they are important too, such as what we eat or drink. Everything we do is important to God. The Lord says we should do everything for His glory, and there is nothing too trivial that we should not do with Him in mind. Jesus reminds us in Matthew 12:36 that even every careless words that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. Even the words we speak, careless words, are important. Now, thankfully, I believe He's referring there to those who haven't been cleansed by the blood of Christ. We're not going to have to, I believe, render account for our careless words. Christ has already rendered an account for us. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to pay attention to even the small things that we do. Now, what I want us to do now is to consider one of those more trivial things or less important things, as well as two of the more important things, to see how we are to do them for God's glory and not to injure ourselves according to the sixth commandment. First of all, I want us to consider the right use of food and drink. And then secondly, I want us to look at the right use of work and recreation. Now, this is a very broad topic, so I'm only going to be able to deal with just certain aspects, hopefully general principles that we can apply. First of all, the Bible tells us that what we eat and drink is important to God. Also, how we eat and drink is important to Him. Now, first of all, what we eat and drink is important. We might say that this is our warrant in Scripture for good nutrition, okay? For, let's say, a biblical good nutrition. I don't know if you've seen some of the health books that have been written. I can't remember the title, exact title of this one book, something like Back to Eden or something of this nature, where the person who wrote it was advocating a vegetarian diet based upon the diet that was Adam and Eve's in the Garden of Eden. Well, I don't think that the Bible is quite that specific as to what we are to eat and drink, but it does tell us quite a bit. We know that the Lord is concerned about good nutrition, although not as concerned as maybe some in the world who make it sort of everything. It's not everything, but it is important. We know from studying our bodies that they have certain needs. If you've studied nutrition at all, you know there's a recommended daily allowance for vitamins and minerals. You need a certain amount of fat, certain amount of carbohydrates, certain amount of protein. You need a certain amount of saturated fats and unsaturated fats, certain kinds of fatty acids. You also need enzymes, and you need water to be healthy. Now, the Lord has taken all these things that we need. You know, the Lord brought us out of the earth by His holy word, by the power of His word, and He tells us that we need to be sustained by the earth. The things that we need actually come out of all those elements from the ground. And He has placed all these things in a variety of foods, and yet He has made it so that we need to eat a variety of foods in order to get everything that we need. So the sixth commandment, first of all, reminds us that we need to take care of ourselves by getting the things that we need from our foods. Obviously, if we know we need something and we don't get that and we injure ourselves by not getting those things, that's wrong. You know, it's interesting that in the Old Testament there are a number of dietary laws. And as we look at some of those laws, some of those things are actually good for us, aren't they? For instance, the prohibition against eating pork, we know from just study of the way that pigs live and so forth, that sometimes it's not necessarily good to eat pork, especially if it hasn't been treated. It's high in fat, and if it's not taken care of, it can be high in parasites. Now, the Old Testament dietary law was important, I'm sure, for many reasons, one of which may have been those things. But yet, the Lord has removed those prohibitions, and now we may eat even those things that the Lord said before we could not eat. But still, we need to be careful. Make careful that we make sure we eat the things that are good for us. I remember one time a pastor was preaching on this. He talked about eating a banana split, and he said, "How can we pray and ask for God's blessing on this ice cream, on this banana split, when we know that it's bad for us and we shouldn't be eating it in the first place?" Well, the thing is, it's not necessarily bad in moderation, but as we'll see, too much of something can be bad for us. So we need to be careful that even the things that are good for us can become bad if we eat too much of it. And some things that may not be the best for us aren't going to harm us as long as we don't eat too much of that either. You know, when you think about eating, we also think about all the different fad diets that are in the world. I was telling Nathan that I was going to make a comment about the Atkins diet. It's funny that, and maybe not quite so funny, that Atkins I don't know if the man's still alive or not. Okay, I didn't think so. But back in the 70s, I think, when I first read the book on the Atkins diet, he realized he predicated that diet on the basis of evolution, that man used to be carnivorous and ate only meat. And since we have moved away from that and started eating other kinds of foods, we're actually hurting ourselves because we're carnivores and we shouldn't be eating vegetables. As you know, that's fallacious, obviously, as we saw this morning. The Bible is that which is the truth. We believe what it says. God created us. Man actually started off as a vegetarian and then was later given the right to eat meat. Now, what about fad diets? Are they good for us? Well, again, if they don't give to us the balance that we need in order to stay healthy, and that might be different for each one of us, then it's not good for us, and we should stay away from it. The Atkins diet, as it originally was created, it only allowed you 10 grams of carbohydrates. And if you ate only 10 grams, your body would go into ketosis or acidosis, which doctors tell us is not good for us. Apparently, Dr. Atkins thought it was good for us. I tried it once and found that I couldn't survive on it. As a matter of fact, I didn't have any strength or energy. Others seemed to flourish on it. I think he's upped the amount now to 20 grams of carbohydrates. Maybe that makes it a little bit of difference. But the bottom line is we need to make sure that we get what our bodies need to be healthy. If we know that we need those things and we don't get those things, then we are harming ourselves. And the sixth commandment tells us not to injure ourselves. Now, what we drink is also important. We need to avoid food that is bad for us. But of course, we also need to avoid those things that are bad for us to drink. And again, the same thing applies to drink as it does to food. Some things may be good for us in smaller amounts, and they may be bad for us in larger amounts. Now, some of us may come from evangelical backgrounds. And if you were raised in a broad evangelical church, you may have been taught that, for instance, wine is sin. You should never touch wine. You should never have anything to do with wine. That's the background that I came from. And I found out later, much to my surprise, that the Bible not only doesn't forbid us from drinking wine, but even commends wine. Listen to what Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15 says. Speaking about God, He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine which makes man's heart glad, so that he may make his face glisten with oil and food which sustains man's heart. I want you to notice a few things in there. The balance between vegetation and meat. It's not wrong to eat vegetables. That's what the Lord has actually created for us. But also wine. Wine. God made wine to make man's heart glad. So that alcoholic content, which many would say today in the church is evil, is actually okay in moderation. Obviously, it's wrong to get drunk. But as Greg has pointed out to me, that there are actually medical benefits, health benefits to drinking wine in moderation. You'll have to ask him exactly what those things are. Wine is full of antioxidants, apparently, and I imagine also helps relax you. And those things can be good for us as well. So we need to make sure, again, the bottom line is we're putting things in our bodies that are good for us, that will help us. Now, second, how we eat and drink is also important. We don't want to eat too much on the one hand, and we don't want to eat too little on the other hand. I would imagine that most of us don't have a problem with the latter part. It's the former part that causes us some difficulties. Now, too much of a good thing, we know from experience, except for those few that don't seem to have any trouble with weight because of their metabolism, will put on additional pounds, which is not good for us. And I think virtually not everyone here, I mean, I see some of us here are thin, but most of us here have some extra weight that we could let go of. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean because we have extra weight that we have broken this commandment. Because a person can actually be overweight according to the doctor's standards and not really have injured his health, still be healthy. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you've seen it, but in the Bible, sometimes it points to certain passages or certain characteristics. One of them is fatness to show the Lord's blessing. It's better than being gaunt and thin, you know, to be sort of plump. You've got all your needs met. You know, you have more than enough to eat. As a matter of fact, the psalmist, as he was contemplating the wicked in Psalm 73, notes that is one of the marks of God's blessing upon them. Why is God blessing the wicked? He says, "Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind." See, the psalmist there is not saying, oh, that's sinful, they've eaten too much, and have gained some extra weight. But he's actually pointing to that as a blessing and saying, look, they're fat, which means they're well provided for whereas I'm struggling. Now, that is a little bit different, I think, than gluttony, which we are actually warned against in Scripture as something that is sinful. I think gluttony is to food as drunkenness is to wine, and that is having an addiction for food, having sort of a lazy attitude and just consuming everything that you have and eating purely for pleasure's sake and being addicted to food. And that's quite a bit different, because a gluttonous man is not necessarily a person who is overweight. People can eat lots of food, much more than they need. And, they don't need to eat that much, but they do it purely for the pleasure of it. They're addicted to food. So they don't necessarily go hand in hand. However, I think you'll also understand that gluttony can lead to becoming overweight. And too much excess weight carried for too long, we know, can cause health problems. Now, that is something we do have to bear in mind. And it's okay to carry some extra weight, but to get too much weight and to carry it for too long, and it depends on you in particular, too. It doesn't apply to everyone. Everybody would have a different measure of that. But we're told again and again that having too much excess weight for too long can lead to chronic illness, diabetes, heart disease, and even cancer. So we do need to be careful in that regard. Now, I think we need to remember that it is true that we're not going to live one day longer or one day less than what God has ordained for us. But we do need to remember that there are means or reasons why one person lives longer than another person. And that has something to do with what we eat and what we drink. So we need to be careful. On the other hand, we don't want to eat too little. Now, as I've said, that's not really a problem that we have in our society today. There are some who can't help it because they're poor. And in a case like that, we need to help protect their lives by doing what we can to relieve their poverty. So we are saving their lives. You know, there's a lot of organizations that have come, sort of been raised up, that are trying to help take care of some of the poor people in the world, especially the starving children. And I forget what the statistics are, but there's a great number of people who die every day of starvation. Now, if we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, perhaps there's something we can do to help those people live and not die for lack of food. So poverty is one of those things that can endanger life. We don't have, I think, that problem, any of us here, but perhaps we do know some that we could help. Now, there are other problems that have to do with not eating enough. For instance, we have, oddly enough, in our society, a psychological condition called anorexia, where people think that they're fat, when as a matter of fact, they're very thin. And they're so thin, it's unhealthy for them. And they want to keep losing weight and keep losing weight and keep starving themselves. And some people actually starve themselves to death. Others enjoy food, they're gluttons, and then they purge that food. That's called bulimia. You eat what you want, but you don't want to pay the consequences, so then you throw it all up again. Well, obviously, that is not good for you either, and the Lord tells us that we should not do that. It's injurious to our health. And anyway, the other problem possibly would be that some people get too busy to pay attention to eating enough. Again, I'm not sure that we have that problem. Others may fast too much. Now, in our culture, in the Christian faith, I don't think we have that difficulty, unless you happen to be one of those people who look at the Scriptures, and I've met a couple of them, who look at Moses' 40-day fast, and who look at Jesus' 40-day fast, and they look at the one that Daniel went through. I think it went for something like 3 weeks, and they say, "Look at how spiritual these guys were," and it's because they fasted. And so then they try to fast in order to achieve that spirituality. Well, obviously, that's not going to work because that wasn't the cause of it. It was their spirituality that brought them to their fast, not the fast that made them spiritual. So we do need to be careful not to fast too much. Again, I don't think that's a problem that we have so much today, but it's still addressed by this commandment. Now, we also need to be careful against drinking too much of certain beverages. Again, wine is good. God gives it to us as a blessing. But drunkenness, the Bible condemns. Our meditation reminds us not to be drunk with wine, not to be under the control of wine, not to get too much of this, because it will bring us, as it were, outside the power of God's Spirit in a certain sense. We'll be under its dominion rather than the Holy Spirit's dominion. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And I don't have to tell you how many people have died and killed not only themselves but other people because they got into a car while they were drunk and went out on the road. Obviously, drunkenness is condemned for a variety of reasons, and it does often lead to death. Now, I'd say that the bottom line here is to eat a healthy diet and use moderation. It's wrong to be compulsive in just about any area except our service to the Lord. Compulsive eating and drinking will generally take away part of your life. Now, I was thinking also about other things that we might ingest don't necessarily come under the category of eating and drinking, such as smoking. I don't know how many of you thought about smoking. Now, I think that we would be hard-pressed to build a biblical argument against any kind of smoking, but I think you can see that the chain smoker certainly falls under this category. A person who, just like a chimney, is just constantly smoking one cigarette after another, pouring that poison into their body, it's not going to do them any good. And it shortens their life considerably. As a matter of fact, it's been worked out by doctors. I'm not sure exactly what the amount is, but you lose so many minutes of life, not only in the time it takes you to smoke it, but on the other end where you're damaging your health. Now, I was just talking to Nathan about this before the service, and he wanted to share with me that there have been a couple of studies done that show that smoking cigars and pipes can actually, or I should say, the study has shown that people who regularly smoke cigars and smoke pipes live longer than those who don't. And the reason being is not so much that the smoke itself is good for you, but as he was saying, that when you do something like that, you generally sit down and relax. You sit down and take it easy. I mean, people smoke pipes not because they're addicted to the caffeine or the nicotine that's inside of it, but because it's relaxing. And they just want to relax. As Joey Piper used to invite me over after some seminary classes, why don't you come over for a beer and for a pipe? And I didn't like beer and I didn't smoke pipes, so I never came over. But I'll tell you what, I could have used the relaxation because seminary is very grueling and demanding. And we do need to take time to sit down and relax. It's good for us. And wine does the same thing. It relaxes you. And that's one of its benefits. Maybe good music, too. You don't have to necessarily be putting anything in to do that. Just sit down and relax. It's kind of hard to do with the stress we are under and the high-paced life that we're in. But as we saw last week, stress is damaging to us. And we need to make sure we do things to try to take the edge off of those things. Other things, well, I should say, you know, again, too much of anything can be harmful. Even those candy bars you like so much. You know, if you have maybe one a day or one every other day, it's not going to hurt you. But if you are just, you know, always just chugging these candy bars down, it's not good for you. Maybe a pipe a day, two pipes a day, I don't know what the limit would be. Well, you won't get lip cancer if you, you know. It does have things in it that apparently lead to that, but perhaps not so much. It's not going to harm you. You just need to use moderation. We could consider other things as well, medications. We need to be careful. Medication can be good if it's used under doctor's directions, but sometimes we can take too much of that. And obviously, illegal drugs are also harmful to us. Those are other things you can ingest. Now, they're wrong for two reasons, because they're illegal and they can also hurt you. One of the ways they hurt you is they can destroy, you know, different parts of your body. They destroy your liver because it has to process that stuff. Sometimes they can destroy your brain. Sometimes if you're not coherent, you can do things that could injure you. Or you can become so psychologically dependent upon those things that you don't want to work or do anything. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things we need to be praying for. The Praters, for the Praters' daughter and son-in-law. They're addicted to apparently legal prescription drugs, and they're so dependent on it that they don't want to do any work anymore. And they've lost everything, and they're basically on the streets now because they can't get free of that addiction. The Lord warns us, as I said, against any compulsive kind of attitudes toward anything, whether it be smoking or drinking or eating too much food. Even, as we'll see, work and pleasure can also be detrimental to us. The only thing we are to be addicted to is the Lord. That's the only thing we can be compulsive towards and not injure ourselves, but only always end up better for. Okay, well, that's so much for food and drink. Let's take a look now at the second point, which is how we work and play. That also is important to the Lord. What we do for those things is important to the Lord. Now, I just want to say a couple words on this, and that is that obviously the Lord doesn't want us to do anything that is sinful in and of itself for work or for recreation. It would be wrong, of course, to be a hitman. I think that is obvious. To be a drug dealer or to do anything else that would be against God's commandments. Whenever we go out to work, we must always do those things which are not sinful in and of themselves and which are also helpful to others. You know, sometimes we're wondering, what should I do for work? What kind of job should I go after? Well, go after those things that will help people, you know, that will help others, and that will provide for your needs, that are not sinful in and of themselves. Now, certain recreations are also forbidden. It'd be kind of hard to think about some of the things that might be used for recreation that are illegal, but so I won't think of any examples. If you have some, that's fine. But think about some of the recreations that are legal that might be problematic. One of the big ones is gambling. I bring up gambling because gambling actually can become a violation of the Sixth Commandment if it becomes an obsession. Now, some say that in moderation, it's no different than any other recreation. I don't know. That's something you'll have to come to a conclusion yourself. That's something John Frey mentioned. We spend money doing other things, and if somebody enjoys throwing money away doing these games, maybe that's okay. I think it's a problem, though, because of the people who get involved in that, who are trying to get rich quick. And many people have destroyed their lives with gambling. It's something that can obviously take you in. If you become addicted to it, it can do the same thing to you that drugs do. You know, it just makes you completely oblivious to the things around you, to your responsibilities, to taking care of yourself, even wanting to live. It can destroy your life. So you do need to be careful with that one in particular. But I would say the Sixth Commandment certainly warns us against doing things that are unreasonably dangerous in our employments. Good example of this, I can't remember exactly the name of the position, but not too long ago, our family went on vacation, and we visited the Hoover Dam. And we got to see how the Hoover Dam was built. And one of the jobs that people had was that they had to hang by ropes off the edge of the cliff and drill holes and then fill them with dynamite and then light it and sort of scoot across the across the cliff real quick to get away from it, as well as the people down below had to scatter to get away from the falling debris when the explosion took place. They didn't tour tell us the statistics about how many people died doing that, but I think there were a number of people who died from debris falling on their heads and also maybe falling off the ropes. A very dangerous job, something that OSHA would not allow us to do today. Now, we do have organizations today, as I've said, OSHA, that tries to make sure that every job that is done in an acceptable way, with an acceptable risk. However, there are jobs that are very dangerous. I can't think of any jobs that that aren't necessarily dangerous, but let me just mention a few that are necessarily dangerous. Police work, okay? Being a highway patrolman, being a fireman, being somebody who's in search and rescue. What's one of the most dangerous jobs that you could possibly have during times of war? But being a soldier in the army, especially maybe a ground troop that's going to be fought on the ground or wherever it may be, although war for us is becoming a little safer, people still do get killed. Now, is it wrong to do those kinds of jobs? Well, no, it isn't, because the kind of work that they're doing is the kind that is necessary to save life. Our Lord Jesus Christ reminds us that greater love is no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. To lay down our life that somebody else may live is not a bad thing. And there are certain jobs that certainly have risk involved in it that needs to be there, and there's no way to prevent that. However, you don't want unreasonable risk involved in your work. So we need to make sure that we don't have jobs like that. I We knew a gentleman in a church we were in before whose job it was to go into the nuclear reactor when it was shut off and clean the water passages. And I mean, he went in there physically, put on a radiation suit and climbed through all those hot, steamy pipes. That doesn't sound to me like a very safe job. And it was during a time when they're still having, you know, children. That doesn't sound too safe either. But apparently it was an acceptable amount of risk, but he got paid a lot of money to do that kind of work. As you can imagine, not too many people would want to do that. That would be very dangerous. So anyway, we need to be careful that we don't do things either for work or for play that would be too dangerous. I don't think I could think of some examples for recreation that might seem to, you know, stretch things a little bit. I don't know, maybe diving off a cliff in the ocean, sometimes that can be dangerous, or bungee jumping. Seems like, I guess there are safe ways of bungee jumping, but sometimes it's rather radical. I think there's even, aren't there shows on television that show people doing things that are extremely dangerous? I think the commandment, the sixth commandment, would warn us against that. Maybe being in a tank filled with scorpions or whatever it may be, you know, or filled up with bees. Those things are just dumb. And they're risking your life unnecessarily. And they're violating this commandment. So we need to be careful. Skydiving, I guess people can skydive, and climbing the face of sheer cliffs without any kind of protection, that sounds like it might be a bit dangerous and risking your life. Just use wisdom. Life is very precious. Now lastly, how much we work or play is also important. We need to be careful that we don't work too much or too little. And really, you might say these two kind of are the opposite ends of one another. If you work too much and you don't recreate enough, you can put yourself in an early grave. Oddly enough, that was one of the things that the early Puritans did, as a matter of fact. They gave themselves so much to their work, tireless, endless. They seemed to die at very early ages because they kind of burned themselves out. Perhaps if they had paced themselves a little bit more, that wouldn't have happened. You just need to be careful. If they can do that and still be perfectly healthy, you know, still not maybe perfectly healthy, but at least can be healthy and strong and keep moving forward, that's okay. But if they're wearing themselves down little by little by little to the point where they're going to disable themselves, then that's not wise. We just need to be careful. On the other hand, too much rest can also harm us. As Solomon reminds us in Proverbs 24, verses 33 through 34, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. Just as we can become addicted to food or to drink or to certain kinds of recreation, we can become addicted to rest or to pleasure. And that's all we seek after in life. And if we do that, it can bring about poverty because we're not working and providing for our needs, in which case we threaten not only our own lives, but also the lives of those that we may be responsible for. So again, not too much work and not too much recreation, nor too little. Too little work obviously can bring us to poverty. So let me suggest this, that we need to have a biblical balance. You've heard the expression, moderation in all things. Eat what you need to be healthy. You know, you can eat for pleasure, but don't overeat for pleasure. That can run into danger. Drink in moderation. In moderation, it's good. It can help you. It can relax you. It can give you things that are helpful for your lives. But drunkenness can destroy you. Work diligently to provide for your needs, but don't become a workaholic. Use recreation as needed, but don't become addicted to pleasure. And at all times, do it within the bounds of God's commandments. This is what the Lord lays down. Is it a bad thing? I think we'd all say no, it's a good thing. It's good not to be addicted to things. It's good not to do things that would injure ourselves. God's commandments are good. They are always good. God has our good in mind when He tells us. It's not a restriction where He's trying to cut off our fun, as it were. We can't have all the fun that we would like to have. God is telling us too much fun is not good. too much pleasure, too much recreation, too much of anything that He has given to be a blessing can become bad. It can become a snare for us if it is not done under control. We need to be under the control of God's Spirit and not under the control of these other things. When the Lord says, be not drunk with wine, He doesn't mean that wine's the only bad thing. Don't be addicted to smoking. Don't be addicted to gambling. Don't be addicted to pleasure. Don't be addicted to work, even. Okay? Don't be addicted to anything except the Lord and His Spirit. That is the one who is to be in control of your life. And when that is the case, everything else will be in balance. I mean, it's not that there's not going to be struggles. There will be struggles. But the Lord will give us the strength to bring everything back into balance and keep things under control. This is the safe way to walk in these areas. So let's pray that God will help us to do that. Well, there's our quick overview. Let's take just a few moments and bow in silent meditative prayer and ask the Lord to apply these things to us.